بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين، وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين، وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة، وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is that wherein the Quran was sent down as guidance to humankind, as clear proof of guidance, and as the criterion. Amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. As you're all well aware, the holy month of Ramadan is about 1 month away. And we know that time runs. 1 month is just right around the corner. Before we know it, the month of Ramadan will be at our doorsteps. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessings to experience this beautiful month and to take advantage of all of the blessings and the mercy that it has to offer. Like everything else, brothers and sisters, the month of Ramadan requires preparation for. It is not an event that should be taken lightly or one that we should just turn our attention to as it begins. Because sometimes we find ourselves in this situation, right? Suddenly we realize, you know, the crescent has been sighted. Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is here, and I begin my journey of spirituality with the beginning of the month. Now this is great, this is excellent. But like many other things in life, in order to fully appreciate, in order to fully take advantage of the month of Ramadan, we need to prepare ourselves in advance. Many of us travel, and we know that one of the most important parts of traveling is planning ahead, right? We all work, we're all busy. So when we have that vacation time, we have 2 weeks, and we've decided that we want to go to a specific place, we want to take advantage of that time that we have. And so what do? We plan ahead. We don't just go to that place that we're going to and there try to figure out what I'm going to do. Why? Because we'll end up wasting our time. We try to plan ahead so that we can take maximum advantage of the time that we are there. Because it's only limited. I have to come back. I have to return to work after a couple of weeks. So I want to enjoy this trip to the maximum that I can. So I plan ahead, right? If I have a job interview, I don't wait until the day of. I walk into the office and I wing it. I don't do that, no. I prepare in advance, I do my homework. I prepare myself for that interview so that I can take full advantage of that time, so that I can present myself in the best way during that interview. The month of Ramadan is a time where we are the guests of Allah. God is our host, and God is the best of hosts. And so for us to take full advantage of the mercy and compassion and blessings of this month, it makes sense that we prepare ourselves in advance, brothers and sisters. And so I'd like to share with you, and of course I remind myself first and foremost, and I remind you of a few things that we can do very briefly in preparation for the holy month of Ramadan, inshallah. The first of these is that we work towards purifying our souls. We work towards purifying our souls. What does this mean? Some of us, the question might come up, what's so important? We always hear about this idea of purifying the soul, purifying the soul. Why is this important? Why is there so much emphasis placed on this notion of purifying the soul? Simply, the simple answer to this, brothers and sisters, is that our souls are the receptacles of divine guidance. They are the receptacles of divine guidance. It is our soul that is able to either absorb or reject divine guidance and mercy. It's the receptacle, right? And so it is important for this receptacle, in order to be fully utilized, and so that it can fully absorb God's mercy, God's compassion, God's blessings, that it has to be pure. Otherwise, what ends up happening? It rejects God's mercy. God's mercy is always there. God says, I don't stop. God's mercy is unlimited. It continues to flow towards the creation. But our ability to either absorb and take advantage of God's blessings and mercy depends on how pure our souls are. This is why the Quran tells us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Successful is the one who is able to keep his or her soul pure, clean. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who is unsuccessful is the one who neglects his soul. He does not, he or she does not maintain the purity of their soul. So as the receptacle of God's mercy and compassion and blessings, it's important for us to purify this receptacle, to clean this receptacle. And we do this through seeking forgiveness. We do this through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness for our shortcomings, our sins, our errors. And this is something that we need to work on every day, brothers and sisters. Seeking forgiveness should not just be something that we engage in when we've explicitly done something wrong. Yes, of course, it's important. But it should be a daily part of our lives. And this is what the Prophet and the Imams, they teach us. The Imams and the Prophet who were ma'soom, they were error-free, they were sinless, they engaged in seeking istighfar. Why? Because it is through seeking istighfar, the notion of seeking istighfar, that we continuously work towards God. They are teaching you and me, brothers and sisters, of the importance of seeking istighfar. Seeking istighfar and forgiveness from God, but also our fellow brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes, either consciously or unconsciously, we may hurt someone, we may say something that might hurt someone. We might, you know, abuse someone. We might harm someone. It's important for us, brothers and sisters, to seek forgiveness from others, to turn to our brothers and sisters in faith, in humanity, and to make amends, to seek forgiveness, to clear our records with one another. And so the first thing that we need to work on is on purifying our souls, so that we are fully able to utilize the blessings of the month of Ramadan. This is number one. Number two is that we work on our care for others. We know that the month of Ramadan is a month in which we are encouraged to take care of others, to help those who are in need, to put time and effort to others, to go beyond just ourselves. Throughout the year, we work on ourselves, selves, selves. In the month of Ramadan, we encouraged even more so to turn to others, to help others. This is why it's highly recommended that we give money to those who are in need. We pay charity in the month of Ramadan. It is highly recommended to feed others who are fasting at the time of iftar, to offer them food, even if they're not needy. Why? Because God wants to train us to turn towards others, to realize that we are surrounded by others. This world, we don't live alone. And that we have a responsibility to those around us. It makes sense for us to train ourselves as we prepare for the month of Ramadan, to give our time, our effort, our resources to others, to care for others. This is number two. Number three, which is quite important as well, is that we familiarize or re-familiarize ourselves with the Qur'an. The Qur'an, which often ends up neglected outside the month of Ramadan. Many of us, right, during the month of Ramadan, we pay attention. We read the Qur'an. Some of us, we complete the recitation of the entire Qur'an throughout the month, which is excellent. It's a very good thing to do. Right? Some of us spend time to memorizing the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan, which is excellent. But oftentimes we find that as soon as the month of Ramadan ends, the Qur'an goes back into the shelf, and we don't see it, Khuda Hafiz, until the next month of Ramadan. It's only with us during the month of Ramadan. We need to be able to familiarize ourselves, re-familiarize ourselves with the Qur'an, to make it a close companion of our lives, to make it part of our daily schedule, that not a day goes by in which we do not turn towards the Qur'an, even if it means reciting and reflecting on one verse, even if it's just one verse, but that it becomes part of our daily life. Some of us may not be familiar with the Qur'an. This is a time for us to familiarize ourselves with the Qur'an. And this is why oftentimes, brothers and sisters, I suggest that not only do we familiarize ourselves with reading the Qur'an, learning how to read properly, right? Not only with the memorization, but with understanding the Qur'an. This is why it's important for us to go and to look deeper into the Qur'an, its structure, how it was revealed, what are the asbab, al-nuzul, the verses. Why were they revealed? In what context were they revealed? To familiarize ourselves with the themes of the Qur'an. What does the Qur'an speak about? What does it discuss? It's important for us that we do so, that we familiarize ourselves or re-familiarize ourselves, remind ourselves of the Qur'an and its place. This is number three. And finally, brothers and sisters, is that if we are capable to do so, to fast in preparation for the month of Ramadan. We know the traditions they emphasize during the month of Rajab and in the month of Sha'ban and in other times that it is highly recommended to fast. If we are able, that we try to fast in the days leading up to the month of Ramadan. The month of Sha'ban is a great opportunity for us to fast. This trains not only our souls, our hearts, but also our bodies. It trains our bodies for the difficulty of fasting during the month of Ramadan. It helps us. So if we're able to fast in preparation, if we have missed fasts from previous years, now is a good time to also make up those fasts. Again, to help us in preparing, clearing our record as much as possible. We are not expected to overburden ourselves. You know, sometimes some people come to me and they say, Sayyid, I have several years of missed prayers, several years of missed fast. What do I do? It's a daunting thing to think about, right? I have several years of missed prayers or fast. What do I do? I tell them, take it easy. Slowly but surely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us ease, not to overburden ourselves. This doesn't mean that we take it lightly and we say, you know what? God wants ease, it's okay. I have a few more years, inshallah, until, you know, Azra'il comes knocking on my door. But that we try our best. We try to work slowly but surely. And so this is another opportunity for us, if we have missed fast, to make up those fasts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to bless us, to give us the honor and the privilege of experiencing the holy month of Ramadan. And that He gives us the ability to take full advantage of this holy month. We pray to Allah to make these final days of the month of Rajab and the month of Sha'ban a blessed time for us and our families. All of those who are sick and ill, we pray to Allah to give them a full and speedy recovery. Those who have passed away, we pray to Allah to bless their souls. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Qumu ila salatikum yarhamkumullah.